Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, guys, thanks so much for hanging out again for another week with your boy, as we have so much fun. And listen, guys, before I jump into the episode, you already know that before I start every show, I always like to take a few quick moments to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this will be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is encouraged, motivated, inspired to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. And I pray that in Jesus' name, thanks for hanging out with me, guys. And as you know, every time I bring a guest onto the show, I always bring on nothing but quality individuals, right? OQP, only quality people. And this week is no less, ladies and gentlemen. This week, we have an audience cultivation strategist. Bet you never heard that before. He's also the host of the Chief Executive Connector podcast and the Not Your Average Investor Show. All right, tune in, guys. He's a world-class hype man obsessed with two things: proving that community creation is the future of business development. And he is my boy, my friend, my compadre, Pablo Gonzalez. What is going on, my brother?
Jose, dude, I'm so happy to be here with the mental beast, man. I'm so pumped for this conversation, my friend. Thank you so much for having me, man. I'm somebody that greatly appreciates it. Like, I really appreciate a stage. And I'm here to give as much value as I can to your life and to our friend that's listening right now. I'm here to serve, brother. So let's do this, man. I'm super pumped for this conversation.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you, man. We've been following each other for a little while. We met each other probably about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Yeah. I've been seeing you doing some amazing things. You've been watching me. And I feel like it's kind of long overdue, but I'm just so glad that we finally caught up to each other and then our schedules were able to match, and I have you on the show, brother, because I know we are going to rock and roll. So ladies and gentlemen that are watching and listening, buckle your seats, because we are going to go on a ride, and it's going to be fun, informative, and value driven. So I appreciate
let's
you
go.
So Pablo, listen, man, tell me in the audience a little bit about, you know, who you were before you are now, and what led to who you are now, you know, the mindset that you had then and the mindset that you had now, and what's your concept of the whole winning, right? Because I won't stop until I win as a show. So let's get into that, man. Tell us a little about where you started it.
Yeah, bro. I'm in, man. Listen, in a very real way, I'm kind of the same dude with a completely different mindset, right? So I don't know if that means I'm the same dude or not, right? But same. I'm very the same building blocks. And I'll tell you, we joked about not starting when you're 2 years old to tell your whole story, but I got to do it, right? Because I'm the most American person in my family. My first formative memory is walking into preschool knowing that I'm the only kid that didn't speak English and just looking around and wondering how I'm going to belong, how I'm going to fit in, right? Luckily, there was another kid that spoke Spanish, Jose Garrido, who became my BFF. And at that age, you're a sponge, man. You absorb it. But a year later, we moved to Spain and I enrolled in a British school, and I'm feeling pretty cocky thinking that I know Spanish and English, and I don't understand the Spanish dialect and I don't understand the British dialect either. So again, same formative memory. And from there on out, my life has just been this obsession with seeing the world as an outsider and how do I belong in every situation and how do I help the people around me belong, right? So As a kid, man, that manifests as just being entertaining, right? Like I watched Ace Ventura at a certain point. I kind of just like developed that personality. I still quote it like every day. But as I got older, I realized that the way that you connect with people is by adding value to their life.
That's right.
And I had this 15-year career in the construction industry that I never really enjoyed, right? Like I kind of iterated through this like middle manager in a Fortune 500 company that got in through an executive and training program. When I was 25, I ran a $50 million division with 120 employees. I became a green building expert, came back to Miami. I started a green building consulting company. 2 years later, I got absorbed by my biggest customer. I went in-house as director of sustainability for this like hospital and university and big public project builder. And all the while, when I came back to Miami, I got really involved in the community, man. I wanted to come back and just like be a part of it, right? Like I love SoCal so much. And I'm like, if I treat Miami like I treat SoCal and don't take it for granted, I'm gonna love it too, right? So I answered, when I first got there, I answered this email from Habitat for Humanity that my best friend forwarded me, and they wanted to start a young professionals group. So I raised my hand, I showed up at somebody's living room, and, you know, 6 months later, 15 of us had started this thing that's still around today back in like 2010. And it was called Habitat Young Professionals. And that led to me being the president of that group a year later. Then I was on the board of Habitat. Then I did this Leadership Miami program. Then I got on the board of multiple other charities. I started multiple other young professional groups. I got on track to be on the board of the Economic Development Agency of Miami. And at a certain point, as my career is developing, I get like named to like a top 20 under 40 list, blah, 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 blah. But within my company, I was being marginalized, right? Like, they hired me to solve this like one little issue of like green building certification and being the feel good guy. And I had no career track. And quite frankly, I was working like 15 hours a week, right? Like, I was just kind of pigeonholed, knowing that if somebody ever really looks at what's going on here, I'm out. And I made the conscious decision to lean more into this community thing, to diversify my influence and develop these relationships, because I knew that would inherently add more value. And at a certain moment, I got invited last minute to speak on a panel about smart cities in front of the Economic Development Agency of Miami, because my CEO didn't feel like going at the last moment. I show up there and I share the stage with a couple of people that I had like no business, you know, being on stage with. It was like the head of Latin America for Cisco Systems and like the head of the Smart Cities Initiative for like the World Bank or something. And I'm like 33-year-old like Pablo with like made up title of Director of Sustainability. What's up? And for the first time ever, I show up, you know, at this point, because of being with charities, I got real good at talking. I got real good at public speaking. I got real good at keying in on my messaging. And I knew my stuff when it came to sustainability and how it fit into smart cities. And when I came off that stage, there was a line of like seven people deep waiting to talk to me, man. And that's the first time that ever happened to me.
Wow.
Right. So obviously love the attention. Right. But I looked around and I thought, man, a stage is really valuable. Right. Like, everybody in this room right now thinks I am is giving me more validation of what I usually get, because A, I was on stage, and B, I was sharing the stage with some people that were, I was guilty by association with some extraordinary people. Right. And I'm like, instead of thinking, how can I get on more stages? I thought to myself, how can I provide more people stages? Right. And I immediately looked, I reached out to this developer that was doing this project in Coral Gables, that was a high rise in like in a low density residential area that was high income, and nobody wanted it in their backyard, but they were building it on top of the metro rail. So it was transit oriented development. And I knew that had a sustainability angle. So I reached out to this guy. I'm like, listen, man, I'm like the steward of like all these different young professional groups. I think they need to know about your project, because transit oriented development is important. I want to put you on stage with a politician on the board of one of my charities and a land use attorney that I know, and have an event about the future skyline of Miami and how much we need mass transportation and how you're part of the solution. Guess what he said? Yup. So I have this event, like 25 people show up, no big deal. And a week later, he's in the office asking, hey man, you guys going to bid on the $60 million contract or what's up, right? So like I completely flipped my script inside my company from being like this like do-gooder guy to being a business developer, right? And from there on out, I've just been on a mission to prove that community creation is the future of business development. And through iteration, right? Like, and we'll talk about this story, but what I've created is a content marketing agency that is also a community design agency. And I create these like content programs for people that do the same thing. They create this like valuable stage. They enable relationships with their best clientele and with their clientele and the people that they most want to know and the information they most want to see. And I make that into a content program that I then repurpose all over the web, essentially turning my customers into like the Gary Vee of their niche while creating all these relationships, man.
So it doesn't matter what the niche is. You do it for all types of niches?
I mean, listen, dude, this is the higher the lifetime value of the customer is for my client, the better this works, right? So like my number one client is this real estate investing firm that is a turnkey rental income property provider, right? They've turned buying rental income houses into buying bonds, essentially. You give these guys 40 grand, they give you a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house that they built and land that they acquired with tenants that they have filled and they property managed throughout. And that's cash flowing from day one. And they give you a portfolio manager to teach you how to buy more of these houses, right? So with them, these guys have been on the front page of the Wall Street Journal a couple of times, you know, like they're no joke. And with them, like, listen, man, I've taken their quarter one to quarter two sales and increased it by almost 60%. I have increased their conversion ratio from online lead to buying a property by 87%. right? So for them, each property that they sell is major margin. It makes a big difference. But I think that this tactic can work for anybody, right? And we can get into it more, but to your point, winning, right? To me, winning and success and everything that I'm about right now is kind of at a, to go back a second. After that construction company, I got the opportunity to be the VP of business development for an e-commerce startup up here in Jacksonville, which is why I came up here. And I wanted to apply my principles, again, having events, doing the same thing, but I kind of jumped onto a burning ship and I joined a company that was like in this like death spiral. And I had to get real resourceful and I reinvented everything I was doing via the digital platform, right? And that's where the genesis of all this came. And by the end of 2018, I decided to walk away, right? I decided I had essentially saved the company. I created $200,000 worth of revenue with this program out of thin air in a software company where the software wasn't working. The CEO had these like high profile disputes with his best clients and had all these ripoff reports. And a competitive software came on board that was just poaching our clients. I completely turned it around with this concept, which was really applying the same stuff I was doing for these young professional groups, right? And when I left, I told myself, and this is when we met, right? Like I left end of 2018 and I took a 90-day purposeful pause to figure out where I was going to be in 10 years, who I wanted to be in 10 years and reverse engineer it. And in those 90 days, I booked 4 conferences, of which I met you at conference number 3.
Yeah.
And the second conference I went to was the capitalism conference. And they said something. They said, if you are building a business where you are doing anything other than exactly what you love doing, then, and that's what your business does, and that's your role inside your company, if you're not doing that, go get a job. Right. So I've applied this like winning philosophy of doing that. Right. And I see it as like a 4-step process. I think that the first thing you need to do to win at all times is figure out something you love doing that you're really, really good at, right? It doesn't count if you're like awesome at basketball, but you really want to be a tennis player, right? Or the opposite, Kyrgios, right? Like there's this like Greek dude that's like, anyways. Once you figure that out, figure out how you can serve others with that ability, right? Once you figure out how to use, so for me, I love connecting with people, man. Like I remember listening to this interview with what's it? The dude from The Hangover. The you ready to let the dogs out? from Between Two Ferns, Zach Galifianakis, talking about finding his passion, and all he ever cared about was being funny. So he's a comedian and an actor, right? And I was like, what's my passion, right? And for me, it was always making friends and making people friends with each other, right? I think my superpower is seeing what's special inside everybody I meet, and then I'm a really, really good communicator, so I'm a great hype man. So I figured that out, man. Then I was like, how can I serve others with it? And very clearly to me, connecting people to each other is a way to serve others, right? Absolutely. But then the third step is, how do you monetize that in a genuine fashion? And I never wanted to monetize my introductions. I never wanted to like charge people to be my friend, right? And what I figured out is the way I monetize this is this service of, if I can be your hype man at scale, by creating this stage for you where we're creating this content engine and I'm making you look as good as possible 24/7 online, driving relationships. Now I'm doing exactly what I love doing, serving people with it, and I'm monetizing it in a genuine fashion. And then step 4 to legit winning all the time is scale it, right? So now I'm in step 4. I built this, you know, I went from 90 days of not knowing what I was going to do when I grew up to coming out, you know, out of those 4 months with this, like, all right, man, I think this is where I want to go. I want to prove community creation is the future of business development. I got my first client end of July of 2019. You know, now we sit here a little bit over a year later, man. And I've gone from zero to by the end of 2019, I had revenues of more than $10,000 a month in my company. And a growing deal. And it's just been, and now, like, now that I've proven that I have a product, doing what I love doing, serving others, now I'm looking at scaling it. I just brought in a partner. We are like diagramming all these processes, and we're going to go huge in a big launch in a couple of months and bring on like another 6, 7 to 10 clients. And at that point, I think we're going to be at least $500,000 a year company, man, which I'm really pumped up about. So yeah, that's what winning is to me, man, is figuring out how you can be a service at scale.
Yo, that's phenomenal, bro. So being the chief executive connector, right?
Yeah.
with your, I know you have a podcast as well. And by the way, guys, you know, make sure you check out his podcast, show him some love, give him a review. He interviews some dynamic people that dropped a ton of value, bro. But what's one way that you can share for those that are listening or watching right now? What's one way that people can connect better with other people?
Yes. Listen, man, I start every episode of my podcast. Number one, man, I'm going to give three tactical pieces, right? Number one is and it's
That's the whole value add. I just asked him for one, and he's going to give me three. See, already added value. I love it, brother.
Dude, you know, man, I'm just happy to be here, bro. You know, like, you're giving me the opportunity to do what I love, man. I'm appreciative of you, man, right? I want to over-deliver. And this is how my podcast always starts, right? Number one is remember this quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. In my walks, every man I meet is in some way my superior. And in that, I can learn from him, right? And that means that everybody that you meet, everyone has thought about something or practiced something or developed something or created something that you've never thought about, man. So every single person is an asset. The better, you know, that mentality, right? With that mentality, when you're walking into a conference, when you're walking into a networking event, you're walking into a library, bro. You know, like it's have approach with wonder and curiosity of not like, who are these people? What can they do for me? But like, what makes this person special, right? That is the mentality of it. And then, man, the two easiest ways to connect with people are, one, share a vulnerability, right? Like anybody that has had a, you know, like veterans meet each other and they connect, right? Like if you were in my fraternity, I connect with you because we were whatever, right? Like if you have a brother that passed away, I connect with you immediately, right? Like
same race or...
Yeah, same race, whatever. Same generation. Generations connect because they've been through all the same stuff, right? So like if you're able to be vulnerable and be authentic and share a vulnerability and that person's gone through that, instant moment of connection. And then the other piece is adding value to people's lives, man. So if you can approach a conversation with curiosity, be authentic, be vulnerable, right? Like if you're in a busy networking event and you see someone's nervous, you can just be like, dude, I'm really nervous to be here too. You know, oh, boom, you're connected, right? Like, and then you find out, and then you approach with the curiosity of like, what is this person's hopes and dreams and aspirations? And how can I help? And in these like settings, right? Like where you and I were at the 10X conference, sometimes it's just as easy as talking to somebody, bro. Cause nobody likes to feel alone in a crowded room. Right. So just having that conversation in a crowded environment with someone that you can tell is there, and sure, they're looking at their phone, but they're not really looking at their phone. They're just trying not to look douchey. Right. Like all you're doing is introducing yourself, providing them a space to talk and hear about them. Right. Like people remember how you make them feel, man. Not what you said, not anything like that, man. So making someone feel special at any moment is always adding value to their life. And then if you can take it a step further and actually get to figure out what they're looking for and who they are, and then clearly align yourself with them, right? Like acknowledge the things that they are seeking, assess them with value and say, cool, man, I want to help you. And these are my ideas, or I don't have any ideas right now, but I'm going to keep it in my mind. And I'm going to look out for you. I'm an ally. You know, those things, that's really all I do, man. I just rinse and repeat that process all the time.
Now the flip side to that question is, what do you do when, you know, when you're at a networking event and you're trying to connect with people and you just get to that one person who's literally telling you their whole entire life story? And I know sometimes, you know, you want to give people a few moments to kind of share, but you can kind of tell within the first few moments if these people are going to go all the way left.
Yeah.
Now, what are your strategies to kind of cut that short and keep it moving and try to go on to the next connection?
Listen, man, I really challenge myself not to move on to the next connection until I find something special about that person. So I don't cut him short. I might just ask him something. You know, like I won't make him stop talking. I'll just be like, whoa, go more into this. Right? Like, oh, tell me more about that.
Probe him more.
Yeah, probe him more. Listen. You know, like try to get them to say something valuable, something that's valuable to them. If they're just talking about how they're an accountant and like, you know, this person has a swing line stapler and they want the swing line stapler, you know, like ask them something else. Be like, man, listen, that's cool, dude. But like, what are you excited about, man? You know, like just ask them deep questions, ask them something that makes them think. I never ask people what you do. I always start with what brings you here. That way people can give me some kind of motivation, right? Like sometimes what brings them there is their work. but sometimes they're there to see Jose Flores speak. And then I can be like, yo, I love Jose Flores, right? You know, like, it, so sometimes they're there because of something else, right? So like align yourself with, get to their motivations instead of trying to dismiss them, get to their motivations. Cause like I said, man, I've made some incredible connections with the derfiest people that at first I was like, oh my God, I'm in here for a ride, dude. But you give them a little bit of time, man. And you're the only person in that room that gave them that time. And often those people have a lot to offer, man.
That's true. That's true. And I love that, man. I love the fact because, you know, you hear people talk about networking strategies and tips. And they're like, you know, well, one of the first questions you ask is, you know, just ask somebody, well, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that, your approach is a lot more user friendly. Because you're asking them what brings you here, which now you're immediately finding out what their motivations are like, right? Yeah. Like what they like to, why are you here?
And if it's business,
then you go into, well, what kind of business are you in? And then you kind of lead from that. I think that's a great approach, man.
Yeah, man. Dude, and that line isn't just for networking events. That line works at a wedding. That line works at the Starbucks line. Like that line works everywhere, brother.
I'm thirsty, man. I need my caffeine. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's amazing, brother. You know, and I saw you too at
Emerge.
Emerge. Emerge. Yeah. And you were doing your thing there, bro. That was a 2-day event, right?
That was a 2-day event, bro.
You were there, bro, from start to end, bro, just interviewing. And I know I tried to get in at one time, but people were running late and you just had so many people trying to get in, bro. And bro, what was that experience like, man? I know that.
Dude, that was like the birth of the strategy, man, right? Like that was the first like thing after those conferences where I put it. So let me tell you that story, man, because I don't tell that story in a lot of podcasts because it's like a blip on the radar, right?
Well, before you tell the story, just let them know what Emerge Americas is real quick.
Yeah, for sure, bro. So Emerge Americas is like the nexus of North American and South American tech, right? They're the event that combines North American and South American technology companies, investors, founders, the network, service providers, whatever, right?
Amazing event.
Amazing event, man. And listen, bro, I wanted to get you guys on so bad, man. I hope you guys got value out of that event, man. Like I just thought to me that event is always just the creme de la creme of Miami networking, right? Like the whole Miami community is there, from the mayor to like Manny Medina to whatever. Right. So I thought it was a good use.
It was a great event.
Cool, man. So as I am proving out this theory of adding value and creating content, you know, essentially at the crux of my business model is that a super easy piece of value that you can give anybody is marketing material about themselves, right? In this world of social media, everybody can use a well-made piece of video about themselves, right? So I was at the time thinking I wanted to be a speaker, and I reached out to my buddy, Tony Jimenez, who is married to the president of Emerge Americas. And he had given me a free ticket the year before. And I was like, I knew Tony was launching this e-commerce business, and I had just come off the back end of being in the dead center of the digital e-commerce business world, right? So I reached out to Tony like, yo, man, I've learned all these things about e-commerce. I know that you were launching this like almond-based milk product, like this like vegan milk product. His strategy before was to go to restaurants. I think I got some value to give you on an e-commerce strategy. So I get on a call with him and his CMO. And within 5 minutes, I was that dude that you just described. I knew I had no value to offer because the CMO that he hired was a G, right? Like he was talking about the e-commerce strategy, this and that. I'm like, bro, everything you're saying is everything that I would have said, but better, right? So immediately I'm like, oh man, all right, cool, dude. I was just looking out for you because I hadn't heard you say any of this. And Tony's like, cool, man. CMO gets off and he's like, what are you up to these days? And I start telling him what I'm working with. And he's like, listen, man, at Emerge, we're trying to pivot from being an event company to being a media company. Kind of like TED, you know, like TED Talks. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. I got some thoughts behind that. And he's like, yeah, because I just got off the founder of TED, off the phone with the founder of TED. I'm like, ah, damn it, Tony. Like I just came to give you advice and I didn't have any for you. Now you ask me for advice and then tell me you just talked to the founder of TED about it, right? Like, what am I going to do, right? But so whatever, we have a good laugh about it. I'm like, listen, man, what kind of content are you making around your conference? He's like, well, you know, we're recording the keynote speakers and this and that. And I was like, dude, if you can approve for me to get a booth space, I'll set up a makeshift podcast recording studio and we will interview attendees and interview the people in the startup showcase and interview your like high level people that are there. and give everybody a 20-minute interview that has this like structure of what problem are you solving? How did you grow to learn that it was a problem? Once you started solving it, what have you learned? How does Latin America fit into the equation and what inspires you, right? So like now it's like you can launch this whole content program from the people that attend your conference and you can get to know people at scale. And I'm going to have a video editor on site so that as soon as that interview is done, I'm going to give everybody like a 1.5 minute to 3 minute highlight reel of what they're saying with the Emerge Americas background so that now we're giving people marketing materials and you're the stage that they promote themselves on. Wow. Right. So in those 2 days, I interviewed 45 founders and CEOs of startups just back to back to back to back to back to back. Immediately upped my network big time, right? Gave all these people that marketing material. They started sharing it a little bit on LinkedIn. Then I started sharing it on LinkedIn and tagging them. And everybody that's like their network started following me and started following Emerge. Like it was just this like giant lightning strike of attention online because we created this outsource and they walked away with 45, 20 minute interviews that now can live on their YouTube channel. They can repurpose as blogs. They can have highlights. They've created all these relationships, right? So that's like a microcosm of my tactic, right?
Nice.
So that's what was happening, man. It was amazing.
That was, and I'm telling you, bro, every time I passed there, even when I went to go get lunch, bro, I saw you that interview, like you didn't even take a break. I don't think, bro.
Bro, I was like Superman staring at the sun, man. Like I'm such like a extrovert that I just get this energy from being in that environment, man. I was like on like crack for 3 days afterwards because I was so energized. And yeah, it was amazing. It was
incredible. Is that something that you see yourself wanting to do more, or was that just like a one-time great experience that you learned from, and then now you just want to keep?
Yeah, man, I'll do that all day, son. You know, like I love doing that, right? Like yeah, for
networking and connecting, that's all day long. Yeah.
And there's no losers in that scenario, right? Like I grow my network, the conference gets all this content, the digital media, you know, the digital marketing company that I bring in gets a huge lead flow of all these like people that they can then market to afterwards. And I just love doing it. I think it's a great product I then tried selling that as a standalone product to different like events. But now what I've realized is that I can sell, it's the same, what I do now is the same product. It's just a weekly Zoom call that gets produced as a question and answer interactive TV show kind of thing that gets repurposed. So now it's instead of like one-time fee at a conference, I get paid monthly by my clients to be like the face of their media.
Yeah.
Right. So like that Not Your Average Investor show, that's my clients, JWB's rental income property investing show, that I am like the Conan O'Brien and the co-founder of JWB, Greg Cohen, who's this unbelievable dude. He's like the color commentator. And we have all these like thought leaders around investing in wealth creation and like civic leaders from Jacksonville and like this really interesting stuff, but it's always done live with somewhere between like 30 to 60 clients on the call. So it's essentially like to a business, it's an easy pitch. You're like, dude, if I can get you a room with 50 clients every single week that you can talk to them, are you in?
And
then on top of that, you're repurposing that and making all the pieces of content live online 24/7. So it just becomes these like seeds that you plant everywhere that can be watered by anybody. And the content is about the person on the show. So we're sharing it to make that person look good. So their network is tuning in to what we're doing. So it just mushrooms out.
Are you doing that organically, or are you incorporating ads with that, like Facebook ads, YouTube ads, Instagram ads?
So we are now this quarter starting to go with ads, and it's blowing up, right? Like, but my, you know, my philosophy is first you build a machine. So I call this like a gravitational force machine, right? Like this content program is just this like magnet. It's like a bat signal for all the things that you want to be known for, right? So like, it's just like drawing in everybody. And then as we get that going, you are iterating by talking to your customers so much. You're listening to exactly the pain points that you solve and why they're tuning into you and why they do business with you and what they don't really understand. So after 3 months of that, we completely redesigned their website and their funnel and like the way that they acquire their customers, right? I call it create the machine, then shore up the container, right? Like you got this magnet pulling people in, and now you're creating this receptacle that now keeps them in and then funnels them down to be your client. And then once you got that piece figured out, now you start spending ads, right? So like now we're like spending ads because we've got this like gravitational thing. Everybody that comes in stays. So now when we spend ads, it's like just pouring on.
Now, do you have a, like a private Facebook group that you have?
Yeah. So their Facebook group is called JWB Rental Property Investing Facebook group. We got like 17,000 people, 1,700 people in there. I almost went crazy there.
Hey, that's going to happen very soon, brother.
Very soon, man. But yeah, Facebook groups are really powerful, right? To me, the Facebook group is where that community lives, right? So like that Facebook group gets like a daily interaction. And they get like extra content and, you know, like they're more involved, and way more attentive. And that's like where the community starts to happen and they start interacting, right? Like I like to say that you can change products, but you can't really change friends. So like if you as a company are the person that's connecting people to each other, you're going to keep those clients forever.
Yeah, for sure. Now, when you're building that community, and you're right, I think building that Facebook community, especially, you know, there's a ton of groups out there that are community driven. But when you're driving that, when you're pulling it, right, that magnetic force that you're kind of pulling, how do you pull people? Are you pulling people into that group or are you, so you're pulling them in, right?
Yeah, man. So the way that, this is my whole formula, right? Like the way that it works is for them, if you have an email list or you have whatever amount of contacts, right? Like I'm about to launch my own group now that I've built up enough core capacity to like scale out and be able to do this for myself, right? For me, I just put a post on Facebook saying, hey, if I start a group around networking and content and connecting people, are you in? And I've had like 45 people comment yes and like 100 people like click like or love, right? So that's how it starts, right? So with JWB, we sent out an email blast. We're like, hey man, we're creating this content program. It's all going to be live in this Facebook group, blah, 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 blah. So that started with like 100 members, right? Of people that opted in from their enormous email list. Then for 3 weeks, you serve. Once everybody's convinced this is awesome, you say, hey, you got any friends that you think are valuable to this thing? Invite a friend. And boom, group doubles. Yeah. Serve. Make the same ask again. Within 3-4 months, we were at 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's the formula, you know, like, and then you can run now we can run ads to it and whatever. Also, for the first 3 to 4 months, all of our micro content, right? Because we'll take a 1-hour call and turn it into 15 different like short form videos and like 10 quote cards and like 5 Q&A kind of like things that are all social media optimized with like the hook story offer kind of thing. Yeah. So the call to action at the end of everything at first was join our Facebook group, right? Now the call to action is go check out our free web class. That's the beginning of their funnel, mm-hmm. right? So like you start manipulating it however you want to then put people in the right journey. And now we treat the Facebook group. I used to always on every call be like, hey, join our Facebook group, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm like, I only bring it up when somebody mentions it. And then I'm like, oh, it's like our secret cool club. If you guys want to join in, it's here. Right? There's nothing more powerful than a secret cool club.
Yeah, no, exactly. And yeah. Especially if it's value driven, you know, and that's key right there. You know, it's just dump value, then ask. Value, ask.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just go rinse and repeat all day long. And that's how you all build day. Community, build relationships, and build business development, right? Which is what we're talking about.
100%, bro. I like to tell people that I'm a world-class opener and a mediocre closer, dude. I never want, like, I do not want to be put in the situation where I'm like trying to get you to do something I want that you're not sure of, man. So I'm just real good at like giving, because most people, if they align with your thing, they're going to stick around, man, if you're a valuable person.
Yeah, man, for sure. Well, listen, Pablo, I appreciate you for joining me today, man, and dropping so many gems and value, bro. And just a super cool dude to hang out with, man, and just vibe with. Your energy is definitely contagious, bro. Look at that smile, boy.
Yeah, right back at you, bro. I love, listen, man, I love your content, man. I love your energy, dude. I'm so pumped we're friends, man. Like I see you like on a rocket ship, man. I couldn't be prouder to just know you, man. It's amazing.
Thank you, man. Likewise. So listen, before we wrap up, where can people get to know you? If people are interested in joining the group that we just spoke about, how can they get in? And, you know, if you have a website, your social media, anything, now this is your time to plug everything away, brother.
Cool, man. I'm kind of everywhere now, man, because I've plugged myself into my machine, right? Like everything that is Connect with Pablo is me. Right. So connectwithpablo.com. That's my website. You're going to find there like when you land on the landing page, right? Value. You're going to find like a 5-minute video of like how you walk into any room and like start talking to people. Right. It has some of the advice that I just gave and a free giveaway of like how to approach that. Right. So if you're nervous walking into a room or whatever, that's where you go. Connect with Pablo on Instagram is my handle. My LinkedIn, it's hard to find Pablo Gonzalez, right? It's like finding John Smith of Latin Americans that have 6 babies. So it's hard to do, but maybe they can look me up through you. But you know, my baby is my podcast, man. Like my Chief Executive Connector podcast. I'm real proud of that thing. And if you're interested in real estate investing, then check out the Not Your Average Investor Show podcast, YouTube. If you look that up, you're going to find JWB Man, and I couldn't be more proud of those guys and be associated with them. Also, if you want to shoot me an email, my email is youshould@connectwithpablo.com, right? Because that's what I want.
I love it. I love it. There you have it, folks. youshould@connectwithpablo.com. For any media content that you need, join the group, check them out. I'll put all that information in the show notes as well. But listen, Pablo, man, I appreciate you, man. Continued success to you and everything you put your hands to, brother. And I will see you at the top. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care.
Buy Jose's book. It's awesome.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Take care, guys, and God bless. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.